We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, maybe the best way to understand the gospel this morning is to imagine what it would be like to have been one of those disciples. This is Easter morning, so please imagine with me. If there's anything I've learned about being a disciple, it is that you end up doing things you never thought you would do. For instance, that first Easter. I and the other disciples were hiding. We were sick. We were emotionally sick. We couldn't sleep. Every time we closed our eyes, we could see that agonizing picture of Jesus dying, and we were scared. So we were hiding, but while we were hiding, things were happening outside that building that we knew nothing about. Some of our friends, who happened to be women, had gone to the tomb where they buried Jesus. They had seen an angel, they had seen an empty tomb, they had experienced an earthquake, and then they saw Jesus, who said, "Tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee." And so we knew nothing of this, until there was a knock on the door and the woman said, "Go, meet Jesus in Galilee." And we went. And that is the strangest thing. We went. We got up tired and hungry and scared and nervous. And we walked the 5 days from Jerusalem to Galilee. We walked those 5 days and we were scared and we were afraid, but we were hopeful. And I had to wonder, why did we do it? On the strength of one word by a woman who was our friend. And that, of course, was part of it. I tended to believe her. She was a friend. She was someone we knew. And I don't think, though, that I would have gone if it hadn't been for my other disciple friends. We encouraged each other. We said, well, let's try. Let's do it. Surely she's not lying. She loves Jesus too. But the greatest reason that I had the courage to do this strange thing was that we believed that Jesus loved us. Loved us enough to come back from the dead as he said he would. And so we went. After 5 days, we got to the top of this large hill called a mountain. And as the trail turned around a boulder, there he was, Jesus. And he looked like Jesus, but he looked different. There was kind of a lightness to him, a sense of peace. Even his eyes seemed to be smiling. I dropped to my knees. I was scared. I was in awe of it. And then I started doubting. I looked at him, but could it really be him? This doesn't make sense. I was wavering between fear and doubt. And all of a sudden he said, "Go." He said, "I have all authority over heaven and earth, so go and make disciples of everyone. And remember, I am with you." Couldn't he see how confused we were? I wasn't the only one whose faith was faltering. And still he told us, "Go make disciples." That was an assignment we had never been given. I mean, we'd been told to heal, and we did heal people. But to recruit the way Jesus had recruited us, didn't he understand that we weren't really strong? And still he said, "Go." Well, in some ways, this imagined scene or description of the first disciple, disciple on the first Easter, is probably a good picture of what it means to be a disciple in general, and maybe a good picture of us. Because really, we are here on the strength of a word, someone else's word. It's hard, but you might think back to, where did you first hear about Jesus? Was it a parent? Was it a relative, a grandparent? Was it a teacher, a pastor? You know, where did that come to you? You believed it on the strength of your love for that person or your trust of them. And they believed the word they had been told by their parents and their parents before them and their parents all the way back to those first women. And then, of course, the disciples. So we're here because we're believing the word of someone else. And that's like the first disciples. But also, I don't think we'd be here if we were all by ourselves. We need each other to give us the courage to believe something so amazing and to give us the strength to know how to lead a life that Christ would like and to do it. But the third way that we are like the disciples is the main reason we're here is because we believe that Jesus loves us enough to come back from the dead for us, to live and die, to remove our sins and rise again. And that is what keeps us here and helps us. But still, Jesus says to us, go and make disciples. And how in the world do you make a disciple? How do you make someone embrace this love of Jesus and live it out? And I was thinking maybe a comparison would be, how do you make someone to become a fan of your favorite sport? So if you love tennis, or you love football, or you love baseball, or you love hockey, or you love, you know, running, how do you get someone to be a fan of that sport? What would you say? What could you do? Yeah.
Show them the sport,
sure. Take them to a baseball game. You know, if they don't know anything about baseball, you'd have to explain the whole thing. But go with them. Yeah. Set an example, sure. Yeah, it has to be something they experience, right? Maybe you will teach them how to play baseball or teach them how to golf. Or maybe, and this might be the best way, you get them together with all your other friends who love running or all your friends who love tennis, and you sit around the TV and or at the sports bar or whatever, and you let them experience the enthusiasm of other people who love that sport. If you're going to make a sports fan, you've got to help them experience it. And it's really no different with making a disciple. At the Synod Assembly, we had some time to talk with some friends, and one of our friends told a story about a time when he believed God had worked through him to create a disciple in a strange way. He'd gotten his phone bill, and there was a charge of $600 that didn't make any sense, so he called. And they said, oh, that's our mistake. We're sorry. We'll change it, and you won't have to do that again. And the next month, he opened the phone bill, and there it was again, the $600 surcharge or overcharge. Called him. Oh, we're sorry. We're sorry. Well, we'll change that. You don't have to pay it. It won't happen again. Third month. There it was. So he called, and this time, he got the runaround. He went from agent to agent. He got cut off three times. And finally, he got Jennifer. Hi, this is Jennifer. How can I help you? He said, well, Jennifer, I'm sure you can help me. Let me tell you what's been happening. And so he walked her carefully and patiently through what he had done and what everyone had said. And she said, let me try something. She was gone from the phone for a little while, and she came back. She said, I think I figured it out. I got it fixed. It won't happen again. Actually, it didn't happen again that time. But what was more interesting is what she said next. She said, can I call you back on my private line? And he said, yeah. She called him back a minute later, and she said, there must have been some information that gave her the site. She said, you're a pastor, right? He said, yeah. She said, well, let me tell you about my job. Every morning I come to work, and I pick up the phone, and I say, hi, this is Jennifer. Can I help you? And people yell at me all day long. All I hear is people yelling at me. She said, you didn't. You were different. I want what you have. Those were her exact words. I want what you have. And then she went on to say she hadn't been to church in 20 years, but she saw something in his patience, his care, his peace, you know, and she wanted that. And so by the time they were done with the conversation, she had promised herself that she and her two girls would be in church the next Sunday. You know, he was there at the right time in the right place, and God just used him to give someone a sense, experience, a little taste of what Jesus is all about, and put her on the road to becoming a disciple. If we will allow God. God will put us in the right place at the right time. And we know that. We've experienced that. We have to be open to it, of course. And we have to be willing. But God will do that. And we can't do it on our own, of course. That's where the promise comes. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and I will be with you always. And so we think about those first disciples. When they came down from the mountain, they were afraid, they weren't sure, but they had the promise and the strength of God with them, and they began making disciples, and the church was born. And we, 2,000 years later, are proof of their success through the power and love of Jesus Christ. Amen.